Welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. I am here with Tyler Bowe.
Good morning.
Tyler's daughter is here. How old is she now?
She's 7 months.
7 months, sleeping. Yeah. You already put her to sleep, dude. Nice work with your act. She's adorable. Good for you, Tyler. And as well as the MMA Encyclopedia, CB Gold. How are you, man?
Bom dia.
What is that?
That's good morning in Portuguese.
Oh, nice. All right.
So I haven't woken up yet.
You're creeping
tired.
In two languages. Okay, listen, people.
Shalom.
Do you feel like you need to make some changes in your life? Wake up and take back control. Download Decipher Life, available on iTunes, Amazon, or Google Play. It's an audiobook narrated by Decipher's chief executive manager and head sports agent, Daniel Martinez. Expect honesty and some slightly colorful language. He shares his life obstacles firsthand and uncensored. Hear how a willingness to change and adapt with life can help unlock unique your hidden potential and pave the way for new opportunities. Listen, Decipher Life is also formatted to fit any busy schedule. Each chapter is 5 to 12 minutes in length and individually recorded as a single track. Listen on the way to work, on a lunch break, wherever you go, before bed. Check it out, okay? I'm telling you, I only endorse products that I know have worked for myself and other people. It worked for Bubba Jenkins, okay? Bubba's won his last 5 out of 6 fights, okay? It's worked for you, CB. He's even weirder before it's Decipher. Listen, people, it's good listening, and it could help everyone. I know this guy, Daniel Martinez, is a great guy, knows his shit. Check it out. Download Decipher Life on iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, directly from their website at decipher.com. That's D-I-cipher.com. Also, if you need help with life coaching, personal coaching, contract negotiations, check them out. Call them at 1-888-731-COACH. It's 1-888-731-2622. Use ROASTED for 10% off. Also, tip a fighter. Listen, fighters are underpaid. It's nonsense, okay? How many times do you talk to fighters they have to work 2-3 jobs while fighting? Can you imagine if a baseball player had to work as a bouncer at night or when he's not working, or he had a professional football player had to be an Uber driver? Well, listen, fighters are screwed when it comes to money, and we could help. So you go to tipafighter.com at tipafighter.com, and you could tip fighters directly. You tip your waitress, you tip a stripper, I get tipped, you tip to all kinds of people. Why not tip fighters? Tipafighter.com, a bunch of Invicta fighters are on it coming up. One of them is Shannon Sinn. Kevin Lee had a great performance last week against Efren Escudero. Tip that guy. Patrice Pitbull fought last week, right?
Yep.
He won by
flying guillotine.
Flying guillotine. That deserves a tip to me. My opinion, tip that dude. Let's check it out. Anyway, what's going on? I just got back from Vegas. I was there. I was hosting a new game show with Rick Harrison from Pawn Stars. He produces the show. Went really well. I love hosting game shows. It's a perfect show for me.
Yeah.
I really hope it gets picked up. We shot the pilot, and yeah, that was good. Tomorrow night, people on Oxygen. It's I have a big part on Living with Funny. Make sure you tune in. It's a really, really funny episode, Living with Funny. And then, Tyler, you're on in 3 weeks.
Yeah?
Yes, you, me and you
yeah.
Are on Living with Funny as well. I think CB's in the crowd on one of the...
I'm in the crowd. I'm getting roasted.
Yes. So definitely check that out, Living with Funny on Oxygen. What's been going on? I went to the fight Saturday night. That was pretty damn cool. I enjoyed it. I had a really good time. I took Bree, my new girlfriend.
How's that going, man?
It's going really well. It's going really well. She's super sweet, fun. She's nice. Actually, when I was shooting all day, I came back. She went and bought probably all these new clothes. How cool is that from Vegas?
That's what you gotta have, man.
Yeah,
a girl keeping you in like good fashion.
Yeah, seriously,
that's the hookup right there.
Oh my god, I was looking at the price tags. I'm like, you can return this. No. I mean, it was great. I'm really feeling this chick, and she's 25, which is cool. She's teaching me things about Spotify and like cool music that I don't know. She's a great girl. She's fun. It's easy, and it's good. It's really, really good. How are you doing? What's going on with you, Tyler?
I'm good, man. Good weekend. I did a couple spots at the HaHa, and CB came through and came to a show with his girl. I did Saturday night. I did a show out in Camarillo for a cancer benefit an organization called Cancer.
Nice.
It was a fun little show, and yeah, man, just stoked to be back in the studio.
And you?
Just enjoyed the fights over the weekend. Went and saw Barbershop after the fights ended on Saturday.
How was that?
It was entertaining. Nice. I mean, I always like those kind of movies. But and then last night I went out with the family for my dad's 65th birthday, which was yesterday.
Nice.
And my girl met my sister. My sister approves, so...
Oh, there we go.
It's really, really, like, I must have made the right decision, because if my sister approves, she's the toughest member of the family.
There you go.
And, yeah, so...
Ty, tell me about cancer. You know, I used to, for like 3 years, I was a head volunteer at, or one of the head volunteers at the Ronald McDonald House for kids who had cancer, you know, and every Monday we would go and, like, play games with the kids, or, you know, teach them, I taught them comedy, or I would take them to MTV or whatever. But I was always, I would bring girls with me sometimes. Cause it's like,
Because
sometimes I would meet girls at this club I was working. I wanted to show that I'm like a nice person and like,
look how charitable I am.
Well, that, but also the, you know, it also that the girls liked it and it was cool and the kids, but it was funny. Like, I brought my ex girlfriend one time, Mia, who I dated for a while, and I bring her and this little girl, Bree, I remember her name. She goes, this little like 6 year old was like, Adam brings a new girl here every week. And then Mia was like,
she sold you out.
I was like, you little snitch, right? And then Mia was like, I bet he does. And I was like, oh, you little bastard. You know, it was like, he's like, damn, you know, fuck.
Kids say the darndest things,
right? Yeah, no, these kids were awesome. It was, I learned a lot about myself, actually. I learned a lot about a lot of things and learned a lot about just how, you know, I don't know. You saw, I mean, the Ronald McDonald House is a great thing. You know, it's basically, if people don't know, it's like a lot of times these kids, you know, it takes when you have these families that go to, you know, New York has some of the best hospitals in the world. And in order to stay there, it costs tons of money to stay at these hotels where the Ronald McDonald House, they put people up for very, you know, low income, you know, very, very cheap. And it's a really, really cool thing what they do. And, I missed doing that, you know, but that was fun. So, the fights. Let's talk about the fights that happened. The John Jones fight. My thoughts on this one. OSP is a very awkward fighter. Very hard to look good against. You know, he's strong. He's hard to put away. Hard to knock out. I don't think he's ever been even hurt in a fight as far as, like, knocked out. He's been submitted. And John Jones has this thing where he wants to beat you at his own game, at your own game. And it's hard to do. It's hard to do with OSP because I think Jones could have ended the fight way earlier if he would have just, you know, did the game plan that like a Bader used or even like Glover, just take him down and submit him. But John wanted to prove that he can strike with him. I didn't think John looked that bad. OSP, I thought, gave up at round four. I think he realized, I'm not winning this. He mentally broke, especially when John just picked him up and carried him around the octagon.
He also physically broke. I read that he broke his arm.
He broke his arm?
From blocking kicks, or was that from a takedown?
Okay, that makes sense.
No, he took a kick. Yeah. It was either late third, early fourth, and he fought the last two rounds with a broken arm.
Okay. Very tough guy, OSP. But I think that, you know, it's weird. It's a weird phenomenon, John Jones, because when he came out, people were cheering. And it was as if, you know, the hero came. But as soon as the second round started, everyone started booing. And then in the fourth round, when he was kind of doing some ground and pound, everyone was cheering again. Then in the fifth round, they were booing. People, they don't know how to, not me, but I'm saying the people around me, people don't know how to feel about John Jones because, you know, he's so talented. You're cheering his talent. He's the best fighter in the world, possibly of all time. However, okay, and you could say Demetrius Johnson is, maybe he is, but I would say level of opposition, John Jones has much tougher fighters that he's going up against than Demetrius Johnson. Not to downplay Johnson's opponents, but I just think there's more guys that are that weight that are bigger. At the same time, you know, it's hard to cheer for a guy, in my personal opinion, it was hard for me to cheer for a guy who, you know, hits a pregnant girl with his car and flees the scene of an accident, comes back, gets his money and drugs, whatever he took, and then leaves. It's hard to really get behind a guy like that. And then I'm like, well, I'm cheering for his talent. Oh, so maybe I should cheer for, but then I'm like, well, what about OJ Simpson? What if he's a talented football player?
Yeah.
But he didn't murder anybody, but John Jones could have very well, he didn't intentionally murder somebody like OJ did. So I'm not going to make that comparison between OJ Simpson and John Jones. However, character wise, it does not seem like John Jones has a lot of character. He's a great fighter. he's a gifted fighter. He's a blessed fighter. He works very hard in the gym. He's extremely talented. But as far as, you know, straight, you know, it's just hard to get behind a guy like that, CB, right?
You know, I wanted him to pull it off. I was 50-50 about it because seeing OSP do well would be cool. I've been watching him for a long time. But with Jones, you know, as soon as they didn't even start the pay-per-view, they started the fight pass prelims. And one of the first thing Mike Goldberg said was, if Jones beats OSP tonight, he gets DC at 200. So the entire night, you're like, all right, well, that's the fight we were all waiting for. That's the fight we want. In terms of his character, and I understand what you're saying about OJ, I take the same kind of shit for being a Chris Benoit fan. And I know that's not a name that people like to hear, but I respect his wrestling acumen and his work ethic. Do I respect what he did outside of the ring? No. I don't think there's anybody on this planet other than maybe Charles Manson that would respect what he did outside of the ring. But as a worker, the guy was good. John Jones as a worker, as a fighter, unbelievably talented. Up in the greatest of all time conversation and hasn't even been in the sport that long. He's still got a lot of time. So, you know, you want to root for the guy.
But you're still a fan of Chris Benoit?
You can't really be a fan of a guy when he's dead.
Okay.
Anymore. But when he was wrestling and when I.
Yeah, but before he murdered his whole family, you were a fan. I was a fan too. But after that happens, you're no longer a fan.
It takes it away. And, you know, John talks about, you know, I'm sober and I'm doing the right things. And I'm a big John Jones fan. But at the same time, it's like, okay, you won. You did decent. You had a year of ring rust. You had a lot on your mind. You did well against OSP. You didn't finish him, but you did well enough. You got all five rounds. And then you're going to walk out and flip DC off and start that whole thing. And it's like, yeah, I understand the buildup for the fight, but. Like I've said before, for a lot of them, there's no reason that the buildup is necessary.
It's just crazy that, like, DC's face was on the monitor and people were booing. And I'm baffled as to why you would boo a guy who is an Olympian, who is a role model, who's the captain of his team, who everybody who has come in contact with likes. You know, Daniel Cormier has just... He has that from what he's been through with losing a child and then, you know, just all the stuff he's been through. And he pulls out of a fight against the greatest fighter in the world because of his knee or whatever he was, a legitimate injury. And people are going to boo him. Yet they cheer a guy who time and time again, you know, okay, first it was the drunk driving incident. Okay, people drunk drive. That's still not great. If I had lost a family member to drunk driving, I would, you know, it's a shitty thing to do.
The hookers in the back didn't help either.
But there weren't hookers, but the two girls in the back. Okay, fine. Then it was testing positive for cocaine. People have drug problems. Okay, I'm not gonna lambast a guy for drug problems. It happens. Okay. However, and then with the hit and run thing, that was a little bit too much. Then with calling the cop a pig after all that. And then, but yet people, I mean, what does he have to do to have people go, you know what? This is just not my guy anymore. I guess he's that talented and that's the way it is. I mean, Floyd Mayweather, you know, goes to jail for beating a woman and it's not the first time this shit's happened. Yet his boxing skills make him revered. Look, I'm not saying everyone has to be perfect. But at the same time, it just baffles you when people would boo DC and cheer John Jones.
There's a lot of fans that don't make sense. There's a lot of fans that in the midst of great fights have booed because they feel like there's not enough action. And I think generally MMA fans are great fans because a lot of them are educated and they respect the sport and they've been following the sport for a long time. But there's also a bunch of yahoos out there that are just like, punch him in the face. So that's whatever. But like,
but it wasn't three yahoos. It was the entire crowd.
That
pretty much,
make any
except
sense.
For a handful, some people.
I think they wanted to finish.
Well, you talked about this before. My feelings on John Jones, I respect his talent. I can't deny the fact that he's such an amazing fighter. I think he's made a lot of poor decisions outside the cage. I don't hate the guy. But I'm not going to root for him. And when he gets matched up with DC, I would love to see DC get in there, mop him up, pick him up, dump him on his head and get the win.
And
I
you
would
know,
love to see that.
And DC said afterwards, he beats that version of John Jones. And I think he does beat that version of John Jones. There was ring rust. John Jones did look tired at round three, but
he looked hesitant. He wasn't pulling the trigger a lot, but I also understand because OSP's, a heavy hitter, and he kept saying that. But he's also dangerous in a lot of places because OSP he's submitted guys in a number of fashions, and now I don't think he's necessarily going to outclass Jones on the ground, but he does threaten because he's knocked guys out. He's got like a Von Flue choke, and he's done all kinds of different finishes. So he's dangerous in a lot of places.
Yeah, there definitely was though after the fight. OSP was like, you know, I did pretty well for myself, and like, you know, he was saying, I'm proud of my performance, and
his stock raised for sure.
Yeah, but you lost 50-45, even 50-44. If I was OSP, you know, a lot of people had money on OSP. It wasn't a performance that I would personally, if I was OSP, I would expect more of myself. I think that John Jones was not the best John Jones we've seen. I think OSP was throwing a couple of punches around. It was weird, awkward punches. He was almost like punching his fists in some of the ways.
Yeah.
He didn't go for any kind of a takedown. He was content with losing every single round and possibly landing a big punch. And then in round 4 and 5, he couldn't even throw a big punch. He couldn't even keep his hands up. It wasn't a performance that I really thought raised his stock. It was not the Gustafson, John Jones performance we've seen. I thought that a lot of guys look better against John. I thought Glover looked better against John Jones.
Of course.
You know, Cormier won 2 rounds against John Jones. I don't know. I think that OSP going into that fight had the thing of, I just want to last, and I want to not embarrass myself, but I don't necessarily want to win. Or I want to win. It would be nice to win, but I don't think I'm going to win.
I think that was probably his mentality was, I mean, and you hate to think that of a guy because he's a high-level athlete, but I think he came in short notice and he probably was thinking, let me survive this fight. Can I win? Maybe if I catch him with a punch, maybe, you know, if things go well, but let me survive this fight. And actually, after the fact, like I said, finding out that he did break his arm, the fact that he hung in there for all 5
yeah,
rounds
absolutely.
And didn't quit, and that says a lot to me, but yeah, I mean, I think even on a full camp, was he going to beat John Jones? Probably not, but, you know, I mean, I got to respect the guy's toughness and his you know, his ability to go in there and not quit.
Absolutely. If it was a tough man competition, he would have won. And if it was a, you know, a gang initiation, he survived the gang initiation. However, as far as winning the fight, and I had a parlay on, I had $50 on OSP and Henry Cejudo. And
like $2,000.
To win $1,000. And, you know, but I did cover it. I bet on Carla Esparza to win 50, so I only lost $25. That's my new thing. I go one crazy
and a safe,
and a safe. That's my new.
Yeah, because you did that with Leslie Smith.
Leslie. So far, it's easier to bet the girls for some reason than the guys. Let's talk about. But the Henry Cejudo fight, that was shocking.
I was pissed.
My thoughts on this one. You know, Demetrius Johnson looked amazing. Looked better than he's ever looked. Henry Cejudo has never been hurt like that before. He's never really been tested as far, and he found out that it's not a wrestling match. It seemed like, you know, he didn't. I don't know what the fuck happened there.
I think he got overwhelmed. He took a couple of body shots, and it was so fast. I think he just like didn't even know what hit him. And DJ is the kind of guy that he's quick. He's going to capitalize when he gets guys hurt, and that's absolutely what he did. And I wasn't shocked. I mean, I thought Cejudo's a tough dude. I thought it would go longer, but
I was shocked. This guy's an Olympic gold medalist. This guy, I mean, you know how hard it is to win the Olympic gold medal in anything? In darts, it's hard, okay?
So does that mean Bubba's right, that he got an easy route
to
the gold?
No, I don't know what it means. It means that Demetrius Johnson's just a beast of a man, and who would have thought, though, that people would be cheering Demetrius Johnson and booing John Jones in their performances in a co-main event. I mean, if you were to think, who's going to have the boring fight and who's going to wow everyone?
Well, you know, Demetrius, number one, he does have entertaining fights. And I'm putting my bias aside, people, so this is me at the most honest. Demetrius has exciting fights. You know, some of them leading up to whatever the finish is, like Horiguchi with 1 second left in the fight finishing him. I think people have this like this stigma that the flyweights are not entertaining. And this goes back to when they first came in and people are booing them and whatever. But I think with this fight, there was two sides of it. I think number one, Demetrius is in a world of his own. people are talking about, you know, who does he fight next? To be honest with you, he's cleaned out the division. Benavidez could get a third shot. It's a tough sell. On the other side of things, Cejudo, there was so much hype. This guy's wrestling. He's going to bring something different to the table. He got the clinch. He got the takedown. Demetrius was up within 5 seconds. He got hit with the knee. I'm like, this dude's done. I can already tell. And that was before he, like, crippled over and whatever. Cejudo, it was a lot of hype. I got a lot of respect for the guy. But it was a lot of hype. And I think
it was not a lot of hype. It was one fight he lost against the best fighter in the world. People say pound for pound. And he never, he's something he needs to work on. We don't know how good Cejudo can be or can be. This is only his, he's had 9 fights. Or what is it? 10? I mean, he hasn't not really... you don't know. He said it was a humbling experience. I mean, Demetrius Johnson's lost 2 fights before.
Were at 135, though.
Okay, and that's the thing, is does DJ go to 135? I don't think... I know people are saying they want to see him at 135 to test his skills. I still think number 3, John Dodson fight would be good. Don't forget, this is the same to Johnson that creepy beat, I thought. You know, yeah, he has clear division, but I still want to see John Dodson get the thing. I love John Dodson. I thought the first one was a very close fight. He had DJ hurt, but who knows? Look, I mean, let's say 135, you know, Dominic Cruz beats Uriah Faber, which is, you know, a lot of people are thinking that's going to happen. So then he has to go up, I think, TJ again, and then... And then where? Then we go to Aljamain if Aljamain beats Caraway? Or do we go to Caraway if Caraway beats Aljamain? And then there's that dude from Brazil, Thomas Almeida, who's a monster. Can DJ hang with those guys? Yeah. Speed kills. I would say he's faster than all of them. Maybe Cruz has him.
A rematch.
You know, a rematch. I don't know. I still think maybe, I don't know if he should go to 135 or not. The good news is if he goes to 35 and loses... It doesn't hurt his credibility.
Yeah, it's not that big of a shot at him. And in terms of Cejudo, I'm saying right now it was hype only because his road to the title was somewhat easy.
His biggest test
was Formiga. Other than that, Chico Camus, Dustin Kimura, Chris Carriasso. Fucking Demetrius has fought Benavidez twice, Dodson twice, Moraga. All these guys. There's a lot better upper echelon guys that Cejudo should have fought to get there.
Yeah, that's true.
But, you know, if Demetrius goes up, the thing that bothers me about him going up was when TJ was champ, DJ said, I'll go fight TJ, but I want $2 million. I'm like, you're not going to sell $2 million. So that's a tough sell on its own. Can he go up and do well? Yeah, I think he can. I think there's a lot of fun fights at him at 135. And, yeah, there's the Dodson and the Benavidez one more. I think that's all he has left at 125. This whole Ultimate Fighter thing is they're really going to do a six weeks in the house, and all of a sudden you're going to have a contender.
No, they're canceling
there.
That.
I know.
That never happened. That's not going to happen.
Well, they canceled the tryouts, but they're still figuring out the logistics of it. I think if you get a guy fresh off the Ultimate Fighter, it's going to be just a murder.
Of course.
Yeah. Well, so this win puts DJ at 8 title defenses, right?
Yeah.
He's shooting for Anderson.
And 9 will give him the record or tie the record?
9, I think, is tying the record.
I feel like there's this weird phenomenon in MMA with fans. It's like whenever someone's dominant at a weight class, fans always want to say, oh, well, what if he went up? Like, it's like when GSP and everybody wants to see him fight. And I understand, like, fun matchups and super fights and stuff like that, but, like, I feel like it's this, like, bittersweet thing. Like, we want to see these guys because we think they're invincible. We want to see him jump up a weight class, and then they do, and then they don't look as good, and then guys will be like, oh, well, he shouldn't have. I mean, it's like when Bendo went up, to fight welterweight, you know, and all of a sudden you go, okay, this guy's a badass, but maybe he shouldn't be fighting these bigger guys.
We'll talk about that in a little bit. We'll talk about that Bellator fight
that
happened.
The same thing with Conor, though.
I'm just saying, let DJ stay where he is. Let him break that record and let him be the king of the flyweights.
I agree. I don't think that guys, I understand testing yourself. I think that John Dodson is a test. I think that, you know, I don't think he needs to go to 135 to prove himself. At the same time, would I watch it? Absolutely.
No, it's so fun, absolutely. But
plus, I think Dodson was a little mental the week of last fight. Just because, you know, he gets to Vegas to get ready for weigh-ins
and whatnot.
And then, well, I'm having a baby. Oh, shit. And then you got to leave again 12 hours after your wife has a baby. That'll fuck you up.
I think so. Dodson says it didn't fuck him up. But yeah, Dodson, I do believe
it. Better in the first fight.
Okay. The Anthony Pettis fight. That was a fight that, look, you know, Anthony Pettis, I'm watching that fight, and I'm an Anthony Pettis fan. I like Pettis. I just, he's not, something, he's lost a step. I don't know what exactly happened. This is the third fight he lost in a row. Granted, he's lost to Dos Anjos. He's lost to Eddie Alvarez. And now he's lost to Barbosa. Three fucking monsters.
Yeah.
However, this is not the Anthony Pettis we saw in the WBC. He wasn't fighting those same guys. But there is something missing with Anthony Pettis. I think maybe the injuries, the legs, something that's happened. And it sucks because I'm a, you know, you want to see guys in their peak. And he's still going to beat 99% of the guys in the weight class. He's going to beat, or 95%. It's just those upper echelon guys. Those top three guys that he just seems. And personally, I think Dos Anjos took his soul, as they say. Because he has not been the same since that beating. And it was a beating. It wasn't a loss. It was a beating. And certain guys, when they take a beating like that, they're just never the same.
I saw some highlights and stuff like that. I was on stage, I think. I didn't catch the Pettis fight. I was reading the play-by-play. It sounds like he was getting beat up with the leg kicks and stuff like that. But I also feel like Barbosa, he's been on a good little run, I think. But Barbosa's had some ups and downs. Like, you don't always know who's going to show up there. But yeah, man, Pettis has had a tough road recently. So I don't know where he goes from here. Like, who do you...
He also had Greg Jackson in his corner, I believe for the first time. And, you know, when you do your camp at Rufus Sport your entire career, and then you bring in Greg Jackson the last 3 weeks to kind of game plan, I don't think that's a really good strategy. I know it worked for GSP, and I know it's worked for some other guys, but there's something I think... it's an insecurity thing where you're like, man, let me bring somebody in for the last 3 weeks to strategize. I mean, he pretty much runs Rufus Sport, if I'm not correct. And then you bring in Greg Jackson. He went for the takedowns, and he was landing some great shots. It just seemed like he was getting beat to the punch, beat to the kick. And it's, I don't know. I don't want to see Pettis fall into gatekeeper's category because I just don't want to see that.
Yeah.
CB?
I think number one, I was hearing that backstage, Greg and Duke were having a little bit of a squabble in terms of that. And he also had Izzy Martinez in his corner, which is the Jackson wrestling coach. But I think there's a big question with this Pettis Edson, and it could be an and or an or statement afterwards. Was Anthony Pettis spooked by RDA and Eddie, and is he gun shy now? And or is Edson Barbosa finally stepping up to main event competition and holding his own?
Yeah.
I'm going with number one, of course. I think RDA just took the soul from Pettis. He's not the same. He was throwing wild kicks and doing all this stuff before, and now you're like, well, you didn't throw like barely anything. He was the one bruised up. But Edson's a tough kid. We all said last week it's a one-way street. Pettis is going to destroy him, and I'm watching the fight going.
Yeah, but Pettis was doing some cool, weird flip kicks at the end. I mean, he was having fun in there, and, you know, it was hard to watch, but Barbosa looked amazing. The hardest thing to watch was my boy Touchy Feely because I went out and partied with that dude. He's a cool guy. He's been on the show a bunch of times, and he was handling himself. He was getting beat. He lost the first round, but he was sort of going neck. He was doing well against, what's that?
Yair
Rodriguez. He landed some, which I thought was a flying knee at first from where I was sitting. And then that's why I tweeted that the flying knee was so good that Connor retired again. But I also had a good one, by the way. I said that Pettis' leg is so black, it got kicked out of a Trump rally. I was excited about that tweet. But... man, that was just hard to watch. He just got murked. I mean, just dropped. And Touchy Feely is a good fucking fighter. But Yair Rodriguez is a hard guy to train for. He does so many weird movements in there.
Yeah.
And how do you get a guy to emulate what that guy's doing?
Brian Ebersole.
You bring in Brian Ebersole.
Or Alan Jobon.
Alan Jobon is way more conventional than what Yair Rodriguez.
He still throws the cartwheel kicks and stuff like that. But, you know, Andre Feely's a 50-50 in the UFC right now. it's win, loss, win, loss, win, loss.
Yeah.
I know,
but he keeps getting caught with these strange things, like the flying guillotines, a flying switch kick, and then he lost, and he was winning that one fight against Max Holloway and got caught in the third. But yeah, touchy-feely, I mean, he's young. He's 22, 20, he's a young kid. He's got a bright future. I don't think he's going to get cut. He was looking okay.
Yeah.
But damn, Yair Rodriguez looked fucking amazing.
What's crazy though is like, because the first he threw a jumping attack and Feely caught his leg right, and he kind of not slammed him, but he caught him midair and he like kind of fell on his back, and then he did like a spinning elbow to get up, which was very kind of like crazy, and he landed with it, and then when he caught him with that jumping roundhouse, it was just like holy crap, flying ninja shit. But that's a guy for me where I'll keep an eye on him and watch. You know, he looked really talented.
Oh, really? You'll keep an eye on him?
Well, no, I just mean I'm not gonna like go me. Off and say like, oh my god, this dude's you know the greatest fighter ever.
No,
you know, like he's definitely a dude to watch for sure because you I want to see consistency. You go, okay, was that a crazy kick and he caught him, or is this the kind of stuff that he's going to continually do throughout fights and land with you know frequency?
Yeah, I mean. Yeah, I think about Touchy Feely, he's got really good wrestling, and he didn't seem, and he goes to train his team Alpha Male, and we saw none of the wrestling. We saw none of his, and it seems like I want to see this guy, you know, what he's going to do against a guy who's going to grind him out and make it an ugly fight, a Clay Guida type fighter who's not, I mean, Guida in his prime type fighter, not Clay Guida now.
The running man.
But back when Clay Guida beat Anthony Pettis, don't forget Clay Guida has wins over Dos Anjos and Pettis.
Yep.
That style, while it may not be the most prettiest and people might hate it, it's effective. And that's where I'll go to my next fight, was Carla Esparza. I know people were angry. They were booing. Twitter was pissed off. They said she was boring. Look, when you take a shellacking like she did to Joanna Jędrzejczyk, and the same thing goes for Kevin Lee, when you get knocked out by a dude, sometimes you just need that W. Actually, all the time. You need that W when you come back. And it doesn't matter how ugly it is or how boring it is, you got to get that W. And that's what Carla Esparza did. She used her wrestling. She held her down. She didn't really use the most effective ground and pound and everything else, but she got the win. And that's important for a fighter. That's the most important thing for a fighter. I know some of you fans are like, oh, this is fucking bull. You try going in there and getting fucking murked by Joanna Jędrzejczyk, and then all of a sudden go in there and put another fucking exciting. That's how people get knocked out twice or knocked out three times in a row. They just, you gotta get that win, and sometimes you gotta win ugly.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. I think she went back to what she knows, which is her wrestling, and she used it, and it wasn't a super exciting fight, but you know, she got in there, like you said, and she got. Maybe this is what she needed, was just a win, get back in the win column, get her confidence back a little bit, and then maybe get back to, maybe her next fight's going to be a little bit more exciting, a little bit more flashy, but, you know, she got in there and she got it done against a tough girl.
Yeah.
She was out 13 months. That's one of the things. People don't pay attention to this kind of stuff. They're like, oh, she didn't do it. Oh, of course I do.
Go on.
She was out 13 months. So, and like you said, getting fucking destroyed by Joanna, that's going to do it to you. Plus the fact, if you watch the fight, Carla's a wrestler. Juliana Lima is more of a jiu-jitsu player. And a lot of, I forgot which round it was, but a lot of them, a lot of that round, Juliana Lima had the overhook on the arm, and she was hunting for submissions. So you offer back. You can't just expect Carla to get into her guard and start throwing crazy haymakers as ground and pound. And not expect to get triangled or whatever it is. Yeah, she might have played it safe, but she needed the W. She went out there. She did what she does. And I had this conversation with somebody else. You know, if she works on her striking, she'd be the whole package. But in my opinion, playing the Cookie Monster game, Carla looked good, and she got the W. That's it.
And I was worried about her because I heard she ballooned up eating a lot of cookies after her last fight. And I actually was like, fuck, I hope her weight cut doesn't, you know, you hear about sometimes these people gaining 30 pounds and it's fucking up their camp. But I texted Creepy I said, how does she look? She said, she looks fucking awesome. I texted Ashley, how does Cara look? She's like, awesome. I'm like, all right, $50, bang.
I heard she gets three cookies to show, three cookies to win, and then a cookie from Reebok.
Exactly. It was funny though. I was with Brie watching the fights, and I was explaining to her, like, she's like, she didn't realize, she's like, oh, she thought like you could lose a round by tapping, but then the round starts over in the second. And I was trying to tell her, like, no, well, once you tap, it's over. And she didn't understand why the fight was stopped. Like, I'm like, well, if you're not intelligent defending yourself. It's funny taking someone who never saw MMA live or really watched it, having to explain the rules to them, you know?
I'm doing the same thing right now with mine.
With just your girl?
To teach her stuff, and we're going to our first fight. It'll be Invicta.
Nice.
She asks a lot of good questions. So it's exciting though. You get to spread your knowledge introduce them to your world.
It was hard with the last girl. We were on a date. The last girlfriend, the girl, somebody taps and she goes, "Who won?" I was like, "The ref, the referee won." But yeah, it was fun. I think I'm gonna go back to the boxing. Boxing, even though I have a torn ACL, and they told me I shouldn't pivot on my leg. I fucking miss hitting shit. And I think I might just put a brace on and go back. What do you think? Good idea?
No.
My doctor said don't do it, but I don't know.
You've got, 2.5 months till your surgery?
Yeah, yeah. But I'm getting surgery anyway. So what's the difference if I fuck up?
Yeah, what if it's worse?
Yeah, what's the difference if I completely blow it out?
What if you never walk again? Like, is it really worth it?
No. All right, good point. All right, I was happy for James Vick.
Yes.
James Vick got the win.
He looked great.
Meanwhile, I was sitting next to James Vick. I was like right next to this girl. This hot chick was like screaming on the top of her lungs, "Kick his ass! Fuck him up!" And I'm like, this has to be his girlfriend. There was like 25 people in the arena when he was fighting. And this chick, just fucking huge titties, great ass, cute. My motherfucker, you better fuck him up, James. Like, screaming. Like, I've never seen anyone scream. So I go over to him, like, "Hey, I'm Adam from Mayro." Oh, she's like, "Oh, you're so funny." Like, it was James's girlfriend. I don't know if that's good or bad. If I was fighting, if I'd want to hear my girlfriend scream like that. I know as a comedian, I hate when people, like, laugh harder when they know me, because I feel like they're trying to help me, and I hate the fact that they think they're trying to help me. Like, I can't do this on my own.
Yeah.
And at the same time, your girlfriend's probably yelling at you all the time anyway, especially that kind of relationship with a fighter and I don't know, some crazy hot chick. You probably like don't want her to scream like that. At the same time, I don't know. I maybe he's not even hearing it. He had to have heard it, though. I mean, if you're watching TV, you heard her yell.
Oh, she definitely did.
I saw people commenting it on Twitter. Like,
oh,
who's
really?
Who's that one chick yelling?
Yeah, oh, she was smoking hot. But Jesus Christ, she was loud. I mean, so loud.
You know, in terms of, like, that venue, you're inside the MGM. It's a big venue. It's not that, like, it's not that abnormal.
Yeah.
It's not Greg getting moved to a different seat.
Yeah, yeah.
But... And I don't know if you guys watched it, but the Ultimate Fighter that premiered the other day, last Wednesday, there was the kid.
I haven't seen it yet.
Okay, well, I'm not going to. There was somebody on another season that got a tryout again.
Yeah.
And his girlfriend was in the gym. And you know the tough gym only seats like 100 people, whatever it is. So he's got his tryout fight to get in the house. And his girlfriend's screaming at the top of her lungs, "Fucking kill him. He's a piece of shit. Fucking kill him." Like, all that shit. I'm like, do you not know that Dana and all these people, like, that's a little unnecessary. But in an arena like that, yeah, certain people get annoying.
Yeah, girlfriends, if you're listening to the show, do not do that, okay? You're not helping anyone. If anything, you know, the fighter probably wants something to fight for. You know, you're not in this together. I mean, you're in it together, but when he's in there by himself, you do not stop yelling like a fucking lunatic. It's not helping. He's going to win anyway, or he's going to lose anyway. And your crazy instructions of knee him or punch him, they're not helping. I don't think they're helping. I mean, maybe fighters will tell me differently. But she was smoking hot, so good job, James.
So you'll allow it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, she was really... you could tell that's a crazy relationship, because James seems like a crazy fuck and his girlfriend. Anyway, what else? Natal got killed. Robert Whittaker is a straight killer. He's looking better than ever. I don't understand why Natal, after the fight, raised his hands like he won. It was pretty obvious you lost. I don't understand that. You're not... I mean, maybe you're happy that you didn't get beat or you finished the fight. You're proud of yourself. But I always find it weird that people, they celebrate after they pretty obviously lose. Who knows? Maybe with the MMA judging. I know wrestling, when I coach wrestling, I remember a kid won and he flipped out. He was so happy. He was like dancing and yelling, doing all kinds of stuff and making these like D-Generation X gestures. And I told him, I'm like, bro, act like you've been there before. You know, but I don't know. I mean, maybe if I bang some super hot chick and I would dancing and stuff afterwards and I'd have her say that to me. Who knows? I just feel like celebrating after you've obviously lost is a bad idea. It makes you look dumb. Who cares how you look? I mean, you did fight and you, I don't know. What the fuck do I know? What am I talking about?
Maybe,
anyway,
maybe Natal thought like with the leg kick damage that he did.
He did, you know, he did do some leg
kick.
Yeah.
He did some damage, but yeah, dude, you didn't win. You got lucky that Whitaker broke his hand because he would have finished you, I think.
I think so too. Sergio Pettis looked great. That was the best. He's you're not impressed? That kid he fought was tough. That kid had a hard head.
It's tough. Kalaitis is a tough kid.
Yeah.
That kid is like, he's very, very talented. Sergio, you know, I'm glad he's in. I was talking to Anthony years ago before he even got in the UFC about Sergio. But it's tough when your brother's Anthony Pettis. So you're trying to do your own thing. But I think I respect Sergio. I think he's got a lot of work to do, but I think he has unlimited potential.
Yeah, I agree. And that guy that he fought had a hard ass head. I was worried that Sergio was going to get sucked into a brawl, in which that was the one way I thought he might lose the fight. If he would have went into a crazy brawl and traded punches, that he might have lost that fight. But he didn't. There was a fight. There was a robbery. Who was it?
Danny Roberts and Dominique Steele.
I thought Steele won that fight.
Oh, yeah.
He won the third. I thought it was 1-1 going into the third, and then Steele won. I don't know what the judges were smoking. It was a terrible decision.
And I'm a Black Zillions fan, and even though Danny Roberts won, I was like, Steele won.
That was a bad decision.
You had some good tweets about better decisions. Like, they've made better decisions on Catfish.
Yeah.
That shit was funny.
I've seen better decisions on 16 and Pregnant.
I had one that people were like, okay, that was good.
What's that?
It was giving out my sister's number would be a better decision.
That was funny. I saw that. It was good. It was very personal for the show. And then there was the fight, Walt Harris, who it was 0-3 in the UFC. And then he fought a guy that died they were from looking for a fight. And he knocked this dude out cold. And you know what? This looking for a fight thing, I understand it's entertaining. Dana's entertaining. Matt Serra's entertaining. Nick the Tooth is entertaining. It's funny. The thing is, you really can't fast track fighting. It's sort of like trying to fast track singing and comedy, and like you get these people from The Voice or even Last Comic Standing. When you get like a 2-year comic versus a 20-year veteran, yeah, you can make a guy look good for a couple minutes, but when he gets out in the road and he gets these tough gigs or headlines, it's usually not that. There was no reason why, you know, like that fan in season one beat Rich Voss and some of these other people, and it was like, okay, you know, there's a reason sometimes things take a while. There's a reason why, you know, there's leagues, there's feeder leagues, and that's where they're going. But there's a reason why some of these guys do what they do. And when you're sort of taking a guy and just throwing him to the big show, when he hasn't really earned it, he earned it because you're filming a TV show and you're looking there, but you're not seeing him versus, let's say, 4 or 5 or 6 guys or 8 guys.
It's one
you're
fight.
Seeing him against one fight, one guy. And so far, though, looking for a fight, guys, I know Sage Northcutt is 1-1, but they had to look hard
he's,
for
he's 2-1.
But the one second fight, he should have lost. I thought it was a weird stand-up.
Fister.
And then the third fight, you know, he just sort of quit. This other guy they had from looking for a fight lost.
We got, well, Randy Brown,
I Randy
think?
Brown's 1-1.
Like that.
And now this guy's
Cody East is 0-1 in
0-1.
The UFC.
Yeah, it's not. I think that if you look at the, it's 3-3 these guys, or 4-3. And they're really trying to match these guys up carefully. And I just don't think. It's like The Voice. It's like you can try out for The Voice and you can make it, but sometimes there's a reason why a band takes 10 years to make it or 15 years to make it. You can't really speed track experience. You can't. And these guys are being exposed, and it's not really fair in some ways to people that are actually ready to make the big show.
That's the thing. Experience, it's easy to look good if everything goes your way. Like you said, The Voice, when they first come on audition, they're singing a song Like, there's a lot of people that can sing one good song.
Yeah.
Or like, but then you put, you say, all right, well, you know, you're great at R&B, but try, how about sing this song? And then all of a sudden they sound like garbage. And that's the thing is in a fighter, you have a fighter who maybe is great at striking or great at wrestling. If you match them up, if everything's right, they might look phenomenal. But then, you know, then you throw them in there with a different opponent or whatever.
Sage Northcutt. I mean, that's a perfect example of how good did he look that first fight when he's doing spinning wheel kicks or whatever the fuck he was doing.
He found a guy that sells tires.
Yeah, he was. They found him on the way over there.
Mickey Gall was also on. And Mickey Gall's, he did good against Mike Jackson. We're going to have to wait 6 years for the CM
Punk
fight.
But Mike Jackson was a reporter.
There's also
a guy at a press row.
They're giving him one fight.
There's also a difference between someone who's been working in a different discipline their whole life. You know, say they've been doing judo their whole life and then they get into MMA, or they've been doing karate and then they get into MMA, versus someone who just started MMA.
And Mickey Gall is 2-0 as a pro. Imagine how good he's going to be. Anyway, he's good.
But
imagine him at 6-0 or 8-0 or 10-1 or 12-2. Then you'll see. I mean, come on, guys.
Well, you know, it's funny.
What are we doing here?
With Sage, when they did that episode and they picked up Sage, I have a theory that if Sage wasn't getting looked at, they would have given Matt Schnell the contract, because he won that same night.
Yeah.
And he is actually an established fighter, been around a long time.
Right.
So
it just seems like there's a way. Sometimes it takes a band 10 years to break, or 15 years to break, or a comedian like me, 17 years to break. But you know what? I wasn't ready at year 5. Okay. I don't think I was at year 10. I probably wasn't even ready, you know? And it's 17 years into it. Okay, fine. Give me a fucking shot already. All right. But some of these people, they give shots to it year 2 or year 3. It's not going to go well. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing guys laid out by a guy who was 0-3 in the UFC. Walt Harris, right?
The
he was 0-3. The big ticket was 0-3.
Yep.
And he made your guy look like a fucking hockey player. Okay. Not even. The guy was laid out. The guy had his, and they go, well, Walt Harris, what were you thinking? The guy had his fucking chin up. That's why I punched it. It was a great fucking game plan.
Wasn't his post fight? He goes, I've done this Joe Rogan interview in the mirror a million
times.
Yeah,
no, he was
waiting to have an interview.
Course.
I'm like, I mean, they were swinging leather like crazy. But yeah, you're 0-3 in the UFC, and this dude's touted as looking for a fight. Well, he found a fight, and he got knocked the fuck out.
Yeah. You want to look for a fight? Turn on Bellator. Some of those guys should be over there. Okay, just turn on Bellator and take Bubba and take Caldwell and take
MVP.
MVP and take Michael Chandler and take all those guys. You could look for a fight. Put on Bellator. Take the fucking 20 best guys. They'll do well in the UFC.
Yeah.
And that's my next thing is Ben Henderson. Ben Henderson. You're not a 170 pounder, okay? I understand that you beat whatever the
Brandon
fuck
Thatch.
Brandon Thatch, okay? Who his ground game is like, if he spent, it's just ridiculous. It's not very good. And I like Brandon Thatch. I don't have to say, fuck qualifying it. It's not very good from what I've seen, okay? Henderson, what are you doing? Okay, you go over there, you got beat up by this dude. And if you were his weight, you probably would beat him up. If you walked out 210 pounds, but you don't, you're a smaller guy, and it looked like a big guy versus a small guy, and your takedowns were not effective, and
non-existent.
Well, he tried in the third.
He
and fourth.
Tried, but every time Koreshkov sprawled.
And you know, I'll tell you who looked good in this fight is Ben Askren, because he's tweeting away going, I just made it look this guy. I outstruck him 9,050
248 to 1.
248 to 1. Ben Askren looked amazing. You want to look for a fight? Look for fucking Ben Askren, okay? Bring him over. Stop with this fucking nonsense of bringing these guys from YouTube over here, okay?
I think there's always this glamorous idea of coming and bringing in undiscovered talent. Why not bring in tried and tested talent?
Why not bring in an Olympian who's a two-time national champion who's 15-0, who has the most pins in the history of college wrestling over here? A guy who beat a guy who beat your former champion. Well, Ben Anderson, was he ever a champion? Yeah, he was a champion.
Yeah,
you beat Bendo, the former champion. Okay, fuck. Look for a fight.
You think Bendo fighting Koreshkov, do you think anything had to do with it that they didn't want him fighting Brooks because they don't like Brooks?
I think that Bendo is on a different wavelength right now. He's talking about joining the military.
Yeah. So is this it?
I don't know. And I just think that he doesn't want to. Why are you fighting at 170? It was a funny idea in theory, but he looks so much smaller.
Yeah, Brandon Thatch against any world champion at 170.
Bendo could probably make 145 if he wanted to. I mean, 55 he could make, but obviously, but I don't know. He made Ben Askren look like a fucking world champion in that fight. Anyway, all right, I want to thank our sponsors, Decipher. It's a lifestyle firm that specializes in individualized consulting. Call for strategic advising and support, whether you need help with a short-term focus goal or for long-term career management. Decipher helps by accessing a network of specialists that work together to offer mental coaching, personal advising, career micromanagement, as well as contract negotiations and mediation. They help everyone from CEOs to actors to MMA fighters to boxers to comedians, salespeople, house moms, and yes, even porn stars. So call them up at 1-888-731-COACH. That's 1-888-731-2622. I also want to thank Tip a Fighter. Listen, fighters are underpaid, okay? It's ridiculous, but you can make a difference. You can tip the fighter. How cool is that, okay? I've done it before. I like the way fighters sometimes fight. They fight their asses off. And you know what? I'm throwing you a tip because I like the way you fight, and I want you to know that I appreciate how hard you work. So, tipafighter.com at tipafighter.com. What else happened in Bellator? I couldn't believe Brennan Ward.
Oh, my God.
You know what, though? Man, Brennan Ward, the two fights that I've seen him lose were when he got beat by the dude from Binghamton, the Barn Cat, just starched him quickly in like the first 12 seconds of the fight, and now versus Cyborg. I think he needs to take the first round off, or at least a minute and a half, just stay away. Because it seems like that's what he got the takedown, and then the dude rolled for a knee bar. And look, man, Cyborg is an amazing, you know, jiu-jitsu black belt. And that could happen. It could happen to almost any fighter. But it happened to Brennan Ward, and that sucked because he was on a roll. He was looking really good. He's a very promising fighter. But damn, that was hard to watch.
He was getting a title shot if he beat Cyborg.
Damn.
It was an eliminator. Not for Cyborg, but it was for Brennan Ward. And I think, you know, he got that rear waist lock, and that was just not the right decision. Like, literally not the right decision. Cyborg just dove under, and it was done from there. And it was crazy, too, because it was technically a double tap, because Brennan Ward first screamed, and they didn't stop it. And then 2 seconds later, he tapped. Meanwhile, John McCarthy stopped the Warren fight when Warren screamed and didn't even tap.
Did you email Bellator and say, listen, I was technically a double tap?
I need, if I send them an email, it's going to be ranting about what we talked about last week of getting rid of those freak show fights and putting on real cards.
No, I don't want to get rid of the freak show fights. I just think that you have to be smarter the way you market them. If you're going to have a freak show fight, if you're going to have Kimbo versus James Thompson, put Darian Caldwell on the undercard, on the co-main event. Put Bubba up there. Put these young guys in there. Don't have a freak show fight and just have another bunch of freaks, the whole freak show event, you know? And enough with the Bellator kickboxing.
They just started and you're already over it. It was their first event.
Yeah, enough
and you're
that.
Over it. I loved it. They pushed it on the Bellator broadcast. They said, live, next, Bellator kickboxing. I'm like, fuck you. There's not that much of a time change to Italy. It was last week.
I know.
Well, what if they took, you know, a title fight, headline that, and then put the freak show as the co-main event? You know, I mean, do you think... I mean, I understand they're trying
they
to sell.
That,
people
though.
Are tuning in for the freak show. That's the problem. Yeah.
They put the freak show as the main because there's been, you know, Kimbo fights or Tito Bonner was a main event where Will Brooks and Michael Chandler for the title was the co-main.
Yeah, that was good. That was smart.
No, I understand, but they've been doing that, and they'll put Kimbo in the main and then put a title under it because they know what's going to – you see the picture on the TV.
How frustrated are you if you're the champ and you're fighting underneath?
No, you're happy because because that fight is going to get you a billion views that you wouldn't get.
Do you think those guys
were on some Thackerville undercard or something?
Do you think those guys are getting points on the –
No, they're not getting points.
No, it was Spike.
No,
nah, but they're still getting paid.
They're happy, man. And they're look. Every people that I talked to in Bellator that from the UFC that moved to Bellator, Phil Davis, Ben Henderson, Josh Thompson, thrilled with their contracts.
Yeah.
Thrilled.
And sponsors.
I guess whatever is getting the fighters paid the most, but I just you want to see the respect given to the champs and the guys that are the top talent and not so much the guys that are just like...
Well, the thing about, you don't even know who the champs are. The heavyweight champ hasn't fought in 3 years. They should just get rid of... They should only do three... Bellator should be three weight classes. They should have 135, 145, 55, and 70. Get rid of and 205. Because if they're not going to... I mean, who's the Bellator 125 champ right now?
There is no... They don't even have a flyweight division.
Okay, see, exactly.
They have a girls' flyweight division, but they don't have a guys.
Who's the girls' champion?
There isn't one yet.
Oh, see,
they only have two girls right now, and that's Yankova and the girl she fucking beat up. So yeah. I guess they're fighting for the title on the internet prelims in like 6 months.
See, I don't know what's going on.
They should legit do like a senior league, like an over 40...
That's UR Fight. That's entire promotion is based on that. In terms of the freak show adding a decent fights to it, that Kimbo Colossus London card got MVP and Fernando Gonzalez.
Good fight. Fernando Gonzalez hits really hard. He's a good fighter. I want to see if that MVP fight. Who are what is going on here?
What the fuck? Not even 2 seconds in, the dude goes sprinting across the cage and takes a fucking straight ride. It's like, well, that was a bad idea.
What? Where are they finding these guys? They're going to World Star Hip Hop and they're going that guy. That's our next.
they're watching Ridiculousness and they're like, we need that one.
Seriously,
I want to see a supercut edit of all the clips of fighters rushing people and how that works. Out for them.
Zingano, you got Jeremy Holloway. I mean, I could go on for a while right now.
Like if I was going in there, I would rush the other way. I'd go out the door.
Well, James
I think
Thompson.
He was looking for the door, and he was like, "Shit, wrong side."
James Thompson has a rushing.
But he didn't really rush. It was sort of like the Superman punch. He didn't really rush into him. Oh, James Thompson? Or?
Yeah, I'm talking about in the fight. He's got a pride fight. The Colossus. He's got a highlight one where he rushed and just got. Was it against?
Was it Alexander Emelianenko?
Yeah. That's the one.
Yeah, I don't know.
BJ Penn against Cal Uno.
Yeah,
I could keep going. Dude.
That's what I'm saying. Someone out there edit together all of these just be
running
like,
and then just
yeah.
Yeah, it's I don't know. It's weird. Very weird. I was like, okay, if people were like, this guy's going to be tough for MVP. Finally, he's got a challenge. And then what the fuck is going on? By the way, Conor McGregor announced last night at like 3 in the morning or 2 in the morning that he is back. He thanked Dana. He thanked Lorenzo for making it happen. And then Dana went on TMZ this morning and said, no, he's not on the card. that's complete nonsense. And he's still off the card. I don't know what's going on right now. This just seems like I don't know. It seems it's like an amicable breakup. It's what the when did TMZ become the medium now that you go to?
I know. We're referring our MMA news to fucking TMZ. You know, there's something wrong in
this
world.
But it's the president of the UFC doing it.
It's going to be Perez Hilton.
Seriously, I mean, what is Dana goes to TMZ? Like, you think he would go to SportsCenter or
Fox Sports? Yeah.
They're like, he's probably like, fuck it. Somebody probably said, look. Your TMZ ratings have gotten like 99,000 times more than the FS1 ratings. And Dana was like, fuck it. We're now using TMZ as our medium. Right under Kim Kardashian and right above, I don't know, the Octomom or something. Whatever the fuck. I don't watch TMZ.
The night I watched TMZ to see if I actually ended up on it, I think it's like a 30-minute show.
Yeah.
And the first 15 was all Conor shit that night. That's like the news source now, but it was funny because you get like the BJPenn.com and some of the unreputable sources. But as soon as Conor put that up, not 15 minutes later, ESPN tweeted, breaking news, Conor's on 200. I'm like, oh man, even I'm smart enough to wait for a real fucking answer.
Yeah, it's weird. It's really weird now because I don't know what, it's rough because on one hand, I understand what Conor's saying as far as, you know, do I want to... Look, I'm fighting Nate Diaz. I got the biggest fight. And look, as a comedian, I hate getting up at 7 in the morning to do radio. And I know he was talking about Bob and Kim in the morning or something. Whatever the hell he was saying. By the way, somebody made an actual like Bob and Kim Twitter thing. And they were like, hey. And then people were like, it was funny. I followed them. They were actually, remember that? It's fucking hilarious. Because someone actually believed them. Your radio station sucks. It's not even a real radio station. And he's like, and they were like, hey, on Wacky Wednesday, we're going to guess what's in Tom's pants or something. It's like, it was so funny. So I understand what he's saying. Look, I got a huge fight coming up. Do I really have to promote this? I live in Ireland. You know, that's where my training camp is. I don't want to have to go to around to fight. But look, he chose to fight Nate Diaz. He said, I want the rematch. He could have said, no, this guy's too big for me. I'm going back down to 55 or I'm going back to 45, okay? But he, when you say, I want to do it, then you got it. Like, he's not above press. Mm-hmm. And the UFC can't be like, you know what? You're right, Connor. You don't have to do press. Because then every other fighter out there is going to be like, well, fuck it. If he doesn't do press, I don't have to do press.
Yeah.
And that's going to be bad for the UFC, and it's going to make them look bad. And they did kind of create this monster. At the same time, I understand what he's saying, because if he's not training and he's not getting his sparring, he's not getting his partners, he's not getting his health, he's not getting his food, he's not getting his diet, he's not getting his rest, and then he's got to go in there and get in the biggest stage in the world, which he helped build, and fight this fucking monster, Nate Diaz, it's going to be tough.
I completely understand that, but I also think that this, they're not asking him to do anything that he hasn't already done before for
and,
every,
and
every
do,
other fight.
And how did it work out for him the last time?
Well, that was one fight, but every other fight, he's always... I mean, think of all the promo he did for Aldo. This is not something out of the blue. They didn't ask him to do
he's
anything.
He's had four UFC fights before this, right? Is that four?
No.
How many fights? Dennis Seaver, Aldo...
He had
Mendes.
Brimage, Holloway, Seaver, Poirier,
Mendes,
Aldo, Nate. So he's had
seven fights. But he didn't do much press for the Marcus Brimage fight. And
well, no, nobody knew who the hell he was.
Yeah, and I would say maybe he...
He didn't do real press till the Poirier, because that was a pay-per-view. So, a little bit of the Seaver, but...
Yeah, I mean, so he hasn't really had to have this kind of press. And his whole... I understand both sides to it. I don't think it's a... It's tough. At the same time, he announced he's going to be at UFC 200. People...
He also said he was going to fight Diego Sanchez in Mexico, right?
Okay, but he said, I'm going to 200.
Yeah.
People, they bought tickets to UFC fight weekend, whatever. These people from Ireland, his fans, they went out to spend their, you know, year's earnings on this shit. All these fans, CB got 12 more tattoos, okay? Everybody was fucking, you know, people were saying to me, hey man, I'm going. And they're going because they want to see him fight. And then he goes, I'm not fighting. That's fucking over your fan base. That's your fan base.
Well,
okay?
Dana pulled him. So that's a little bit of a technicality.
Dana pulled him because he says, I'm not doing press.
This up and down bullshit is what pisses me off. And I'm a huge Conor fan, but it's like, yeah, I'm retired. And Dana's like, no, we just pulled him. He'll fight again. And if he doesn't want to fight Aldo Edgar for the belt, well, I'm back on. And then I get blown up, like you said, at 2 o'clock in the fucking morning, or I wake up to 35 tweets. Is he back? You would know. How do I know? But I think the funniest thing about this whole thing is like, he doesn't want to do press. Or the promotion or whatever, and Dana's like, you know, we can't allow that. Has anybody thought about the guy that he's fighting and that him and his brother have been avoiding promotion and press? The Anderson Silva fight, Nick was supposed to be on Tuesday. He showed up Thursday.
Not the same, though. Not the same. I mean,
but it's just...
Not the same extent of press. And they
and
did,
he pulled
they
out
did
at 137.
They pulled out Nick Diaz from a fight for not doing the same.
But then they put him back in. He fought BJ. He was supposed to fight George. They pulled him. BJ still won it on the card at 137. And they called BJ and said, we got an opportunity of a lifetime. You
no,
want Nick
Diaz?
That,
but it's not
that's
exactly
also that's also Nick, not Nate.
No, I know. But Nate's been doing, he's like, I don't want to do press, whatever it is. You know what? I've told everybody the same thing. Give it a few more weeks. You're a while away from July. You're a ton of events away. Give it a few more weeks. We'll have a finite answer. If Conor McGregor tweets, I'm on 200, and 900 people are like, he's back. You're making this worse for everyone.
No, it is. You're absolutely it's making it worse. And I think it's also becoming kind of a joke. And it's, I don't know. You're becoming like that girl who breaks up with you and says, I want to come back. And then says, no, I'm done. And I want to come back. And I know that. Look, I was that guy in some ways. My ex-girlfriend, when we broke up, she was like, it's over. I'm like, you have to leave my apartment. It's over. She threw something on my head. She was this, that. And then she wouldn't leave. And then she would say, hey, I made you your favorite ravioli. And I'd be like, oh, man. And then she'd be like, you know, I just want to give you a blowjob. I'm like, all right, fine. And before you know it, I'm like, you know what? You could stay. This fucking blowjob was great, and so is the ravioli. But finally...
Did you say so was the ravioli?
Oh, yeah. I'm like, but finally, after the eighth time, I said, you have to go. But by that time, you know, you can't. I'm telling you, if a girl can give a blowjob, a really good blowjob, it makes up for a lot of her faults. It really does. They really should give a blowjob class in college to chicks because it is important. It is important. If a girl knows how to give you a blowjob, and I know your daughter's here who's 7 months old. And
don't even start.
Okay, but no, I'm just saying, she probably shouldn't be listening to this, okay, is what I'm saying. Okay, this is, right? Wait till you're at least 19 or 20. But I'm saying that if a girl can give good head, it makes up for a lot. It's a very powerful tool that women have. And if a girl gives bad head, and like she uses teeth, or she doesn't know how to give good head, or she stops, or takes breaks, or doesn't like giving head, life is going to be harder for her. It is. Am I right, Ben? Am I right? No, is it? Don't you think life is going to be harder for a chick if she gives awful head? It's a very powerful thing that you ladies have, and I know it's a very powerful tool, and it can win you. It can help with your argument skills, and you know, look, I know women might get mad at me for saying this, but what do you think, Tyler?
I don't know. I'm still thinking about that ravioli.
Come on. does your wife give good head?
I think that everybody should try to be the best partner that they can be. What?
No, it's not the fucking question.
If you're going to be in a relationship, it probably is good to give head, guys and girls.
Yeah, guys and girls.
Make sure your partner's happy.
Wait, didn't Tanya say it's give face? Guys give face and girls give head?
Is that what we're going to ask her? We're going to talk to Tanya after Shannon Rich did not, after he said he reached out to me and said, look, I got a fight coming up June 11th, Milwaukee Resort, the casino, bare knuckle fighting championship. I booked him. I had two other people I could book. I said no. Penny wanted to come on the show today. Penny Kanzant. I could have had this one. I could have had Rashad Evans. Got a lot of people. But I said no. I'm going to give Shannon the Cannon Rich his spot. And then he doesn't pick up the phone. And this is what I got to deal with, people. Just so you know, the shit I got to deal with.
Plus CB Gold, which drives Adam crazy.
You don't drive me crazy, man. You are the most unique person I've met in a long time, CB. People want to know why you carry on a belt, though. That's a thing on the underground. Shan, the man, wanted to know that. Why you carry on a belt?
What, this belt?
Any belt.
I don't have any other belts
anymore. You carried another belt before that.
I had a UFC. I had an Ultimate, WEC, Pride.
But why do you carry it around?
Because I take pictures of fighters and go with the belt. And actually,
has anybody ever thought you were the actual champ?
Yes.
Really? What did they say?
Bellator events, like a fucking madhouse. Actually, funny enough, and I'll keep it short, I had a Bellator replica belt, and when I went to the Gallard Gertz card out in Temecula, I was hanging out with the Pitbull brothers, Leandro Higo, who just won the title a few days ago, and a guy came up to me and was like, oh, are you the champ? And I'm like, no, he's the champ, pointing to Patricio. And Patricio turns and he goes, no, campeón, campeón.
Oh, that's nice of him.
And so they were trying to take pictures with me and whatever. And when the fans left, I was like, in Portuguese, I was like, Patricio, you're hilarious, but you're an asshole.
That's funny.
But with the Bellator,
you know,
more than anything. Yeah.
How do you know Portuguese?
I taught myself Portuguese to be able to speak to Brazilian fighters.
You ever think maybe, like, if you spent the time you spent on MMA into, like, curing cancer or finding a cure for AIDS, that you would have already figured it out?
AIDS or hearing AIDS?
Come on. Seriously, don't you think maybe, like...
Yeah, but that's not enticing to me. I'm sorry. And trust me, I've lost family members to cancer, but... What a random compare. I'm going to look like such an asshole now. Can we cut that out, Ben?
Thank you. We're not cutting it out. Keep that.
No, I just, you know, I find something I like and
I hear you, man.
I want to be the best. Like,
I'm the same.
Speaking of which, I tried to find the drunk Periscope from the other night, but it was already like, it's already gone.
Every 2 days they delete it.
Yeah. I didn't know you could save it on your phone though, but. Yeah, that was pretty entertaining. I had a lot of fun with that.
I think we need to come up with some challenges to because you're the current MMA Roasted podcast.
This belt
champion.
Ain't going nowhere.
We got to come up with some contests, some challenges because I want that belt.
You want that belt?
I want to be the podcast champ.
You want the belt?
I want it. I'm coming
that's,
for it.
That's funny.
I want that gold.
We gotta think of a challenge. It's hilarious.
By the way, Adam, when I got in the car after the stump, the drunk CB, I remembered one of the ones I got
wrong. But you weren't drunk, though.
No, I wasn't drunk, but I was.
You got into the Uber.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you got into the Uber after the stump, the drunk TV. Yeah,
I said I got in the car.
All right, okay, got you. Okay.
I don't have to, like, they didn't have any water, and she told me I wasn't hot. So, anyways, it's your bit, Adam.
All right,
it's okay.
I got you.
I remembered one of the questions I got wrong, and I was, like, pissed about it. So, and a lot of people are like, you're an angry drunk. I'm like, I just don't like getting MMA information wrong.
It's all good, man. Meanwhile, so tonight, Juliana Pena is being a commentator for Combate America. Rudy's fighting from last week tonight, as well as my friend Kyra.
Kyra Gracie?
No, Mogwai. She goes by Mogwai. She's a cute little girl, comes to my shows, and she's a fighter. But
that's a gremlin, right? Isn't what? That what it is? Mogwai?
Is that what it is? Is it a gremlin?
I think before they turn into a gremlin, the little cute one. That's what a Mogwai is, I think.
You may have won the belt with that stupid information. Listen, but what I'm saying is I have a show tonight, and I got this new MTV show I'm doing next week where I got to do 20 minutes of material on, and I got to practice it because they have to be stories. So I had to turn all my jokes into stories.
You redid that one, whole thing?
The whole thing. It took me like...
And they animate it, right?
Yeah. Well, sort of. So I got to practice at the Haha, but I want to go to this Combate America thing, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to go. I mean, I got to work on my career. I have to, like, you know,
I guess I'll do this MTV show.
No, but I do want to go see it, though. I just got offered free tickets, too.
You told Rudy he would be there.
I did. But the thing is, it starts at 6, and there's 3 shows tonight, a 6 to 8, an 8 to 10,
wait, which
and a
shows?
10 to 12.
There's 3 Combate America shows?
Yeah, because they're shooting 3 of them, then airing some of them, like, next week, the week after.
Oh, so this isn't even live? You can't
One
catch
of them
it
is
on
live.
Fight Pass?
One of them's live.
Is Rudy on Fight Pass?
Yeah, Rudy's on Fight Pass.
Tonight.
But 2 of the other events are in
Well, he was the only one I wanted to see.
I know. And it's what I'm saying. Do I want to see a bunch of guys I have no idea who they are?
Plus 6 hours for an event where you don't know anybody?
Except for 2 people.
That's a lot.
I know. And plus, I'm missing a comedy show.
Sometimes and you have to prioritize.
I know. And I got to run my first. I got to run my set. Anyway, listen. We're going to have the champion right now because Shannon Rich, man. Shannon, I wanted to have you on the show, dude. I had all these fucking... I was up till fucking 4 in the morning last night watching your fights, dude. I watched you fight Severn, and then I watched your fight against John Wood, and then I watched your fight against Ray Elby, and then I watched your Brian Ebersole fight, and then I watched your Diego Sanchez fight. I watched all your fucking fights last night. I watched your Pele fight, your Jake Shields fight, your Evan Tanner fight, Eves Edwards you fought, and now you want to fight Bare Knuckle, and you didn't pick up the phone. Come on, man.
I think I've come to the conclusion that you need more sleep.
I think,
like,
you're right.
On the regular.
I know.
You're always, like, you're constantly awake. You're constantly working. You need to kind of recharge your batteries.
I know,
like,
and I can't even watch porn anymore because...
You have a girlfriend?
No, I watch porn, but it's like, I'm like too selective with my porn. If the girl's too hot... Then I think I can't get her.
If, like, in the porn?
Who gives
in the porn.
A shit?
And then if she's, like, ugly, then I think I'm, like, or not as hot, I think I'm, like, settling, you know? If there's a black dude, it's not realistic enough because the dick is black and my dick is white. If there's another guy in the room that's kind of gay, sort of, and I feel like I don't want the guy. I mean, whatever. If it's, like, I have to, it's just, it's too much. Like, I have to find the girl just enough.
So what do you type in? You're like, decent looking girl, white guy, no one else in
and
rooms.
And then it can't be like, even though it says like teen, whatever.
Good head, raviolis
even
afterwards.
It's a teen, I know they're not teen. I still don't even want that on my hard drive because maybe the girl is a teen, even though it's on UJizz or whatever it is, or Beej or Eskimo Tube.
Threesome with 2 4s because I can't have 6s.
But then I can't have threesomes because then it's like I get used to jerking off to threesomes or the dancing bear or too many girls, and then that fucks me up in my real life.
What's the dancing bear?
A dancing bear?
You never heard of dancing bear? Some guy comes out with a bear costume and there's like 30 chicks take turns blowing them. It's like a
these
male,
are things I didn't even know existed.
It's like a male stripper, and these girls just they just pass them around.
Has Cobby been there?
No, no, it's pretty, why would he be? Oh, because there's a bear?
The bear?
No. No, it's pretty cool. It takes me back to my dancing days. But so, yeah, like, that's the thing. So I can't even, I have to, it takes me like a half hour to watch 40 minutes to settle down to find the right porn. You know, even that, it's just,
Just go on to like realitykings.com where they have the little like preview trailers.
I don't want
to. No. The preview trailers. You get like a minute of each one, and you see the highlights. You don't have to watch a decision
fight.
Yeah, but
then I got to go from one to the next one.
Yeah, you just open a bunch of windows.
I don't
want to.
Too many windows. Too many windows. I feel like I'm a Mexican. I'm washing windows. Listen, people. So we are going to call Tanya Evinger right now. She is the Invicta champion. She's got a fight coming up against Colleen Schneider.
I'll be there.
She's. I'm gonna go there too. She's won like 6 fights in a row. I think 7 fights in a row. Ranked number 9 in the world, which is funny that the 9th ranked girl in the world is not in the UFC.
Hello.
Hey, is this the champion, Tanya Evinger?
Yeah, it is.
How are you? You're on the MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, the CB, the intern, as well as Tyler Bowe.
What's up?
How are you?
I'm good. Just got done training, so.
Nice. Are you
ready to relax the rest of the day?
Are you in Texas?
Yep.
Nice. And you got a big fight coming up against Colleen Schneider and Invicta. Are you ready for this? Are you taking this seriously? Do you think she's in your league? What's the plan here?
I take every fight serious, man. If I lose to anybody, God, embarrassing.
Right. Yeah.
But no. I definitely am taking it serious. I'm training hard, but I ran my mouth a little about going down to 125, so I obviously need to step up and get ready to do that. So I've taken this fight a little bit more serious, I think, in the fact of, you know, eating healthier and my strength and conditioning is a lot different and more intense and just everything in general is a little bit better.
Wait, you could make 125?
Yes.
Wow.
I'm not happy about it, but I can do it.
That's wow. So you're going to have a six-pack and everything?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's under there somewhere. It's under there somewhere. I just tell the girls, go dig it. Dig for it, girls. Dig for it.
That's awesome. Good for you. Now, why not say 135? I was saying you're the 9th ranked girl in the world. Personally, I think you give any one of these girls a fight, including the UFC champion. Why not? Why 125?
I just want to take 2 belts. So, I think I'm running out of girls to fight, and then the girls that can fight me don't want to fight me, and the girls that aren't qualified to fight me are the ones that want to fight me, so it doesn't, like, it's never going to work out for me, so I'm just going to let them get a little time to build a couple more fights up at 35 and try to take that belt to 25 and, you know, make some new opponents bleed. I don't know. I want that belt, man.
Now you have, yeah, no, absolutely. Now, if the UFC called you after this fight, let's say you beat Colleen and the UFC said, you know what, Tanya, we've been ignoring you for too long. Do you want to fight in the UFC? What would you say?
There's many things that would come into play there. First of all, what kind of money we're talking about. And then second of all, I made an agreement with Shannon that I would sign for another 4 fights. So I can't really back out on that. And I wouldn't, you know, Shannon's done me good. So I definitely, it would be something to think about, but man, unless it's the right fights and the right money, it just doesn't matter to me to go over UFC.
But I mean, you said that you wanted to fight Misha and that you want to knee her in the cooter. Do you still want to do that?
Yeah, obviously. I mean, that would be the right fight, but them giving me that fight, I just don't see it. And them giving me a decent payday, I don't see that either. So, you know, I think them 2 things would come into play big time. And then, you know, obviously to see what Shannon's got in mind and what we got coming up in Invicta, you know. But I don't know. It's not anything that I'm sitting here worried about or twiddling my thumbs waiting for, you know. So
now the last time I saw you came to my show, you had that cute Mexican girlfriend. But then you guys weren't together in L.A. Are you guys back together?
No. We're just friends. We train together once in a while. She's actually fighting on that Monday, so I fight Saturday in L.A., and then she fights that Monday on that Americana.
Combate Americana. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So are you seeing anybody? You have a girlfriend? What's going on?
I'm dating somebody, but nothing too serious yet or anything like that, but yeah, I'm dating somebody right now, and you know.
How did you, meet
Mexicans.
Her?
I'm back to a white girl.
Back to a white girl. Now, how do you meet these girls?
I don't know. They hit me up usually.
Oh, so you're not on like Grindr?
So, yeah, whatever. No, I'm not getting on Grindr. I get on Tinder just to swipe some bitches. Makes me feel powerful. You know what I mean?
Hey, so Tanya, this last girl that you were dating, did you ever train with her?
You talking about that model that I brought in there?
No, you talking about the last girlfriend that was a fighter.
Yeah.
Did you ever spar with her?
Yeah. I still train with her.
How'd that go?
She's always worried. Don't hit me. I don't hit him hard. Come on. She's a 105-pounder. I'm not trying to beat her up. What do I got to prove there?
Now, people don't know this, but the last time you were in our studio, you show up at like noon. You have a 40 in one hand. And then
I was on vacation, all right.
it's like noon and you have a 40, and then you're like, hey, I got some friends coming. Some weird Russian chicks start coming in the studio, sit on the couch, don't say a word. I don't even speak English. And then
the one came to pick me up, and she took me to her apartment and raped me and then dropped me off in my hotel. And I'm all right with that kind of situation.
So where did you meet that girl?
Where did I meet her? Oh, at a gay bar down in West Hollywood. She picked me up there. God, I'm like an easy catch or something.
So do you met her that week, or you met her beforehand?
No. I met her a couple years ago, and I would come to LA, and we'd hang out every once in a while. So
now,
sometimes she has a girlfriend and she's like, I don't even want to be your friend. I'm seeing somebody. They're so weird. But, you know, I try to be friends with most of my exes as long as they aren't douchebags. But
me too.
You know, it's whatever.
Now she picks you up. You said she rapes you. So she takes you back to your place. She goes down on you and then kicks you out.
I tried to fight her off.
Bullshit. There's no way. So she gets you butt naked. She just eats. She goes clam smacking. She goes down. She eats the beef, and then she just says, "You have to go."
She actually drove me all the way back to Costa Mesa, dropped me off. Yeah. I was scared too. I'm like, how long? I'm sitting there. She's like, I just got my driver's license. I'm like, oh my God, let me drive. Oh my God. Seriously, the whole ride back, I'm giving her like 4-1 on how to drive. Like, if they're doing this, you do this. It's better if you do this and that. I'm like trying to teach her driver's ed on the way, thinking, please God, let me make it.
No. I mean, are there strap-ons involved in this or no?
Well, obviously we have all kinds of toys to play with, you know. Lesbians have the best of both worlds.
Mm. Yeah, I was wondering about that. Like, I wonder if like lesbians have the strap-ons, or they just use the vibrators. Like, what exactly goes on there? You guys have this whole
we're real open-minded. You know what I mean?
Hmm. Damn. So now, are your parents still waiting for you to tell them that you're straight?
Yeah, my brother told me last time I was home that my mom's telling him, like, maybe Tanya will find a guy someday. And I went up to her. I'm like, Mom, seriously, stop saying that. And then she's like, I never said that. I know you're not going to be straight. And I was like, you're so full of shit, man. My brother ain't lying. You just so wish I would be straight. I don't know why.
I'll tell you, though, when you get dolled up, like when you put the lipstick on and the hair, you're a very attractive woman. You're attractive in general. But when you actually, like, I can see, like, you got a hot thing going. Your beautiful face, Tanya, just so you know.
Well, I try not to show that side of me because then I have to deal with guys and.
Oh, is that what it is, really?
Situations. No, actually, I'm just really lazy. I don't like these girls spend way too much time trying to get ready. I don't care about that shit.
But I've seen pictures though of like you out at the club with your lipstick on and shit. I'm like, damn, Tanya, when she puts makeup on, she's a beast.
Yeah, they get me in dresses every once in a while, and then I end up getting kicked out because my dress is always above my boobs. And I'm like, listen, this is advertising. See these panties right here? That's a logo from my sponsor, and I'm trying to advertise.
Nice. That's so funny, man.
I'm horrible.
No, you're not. I told Shannon, I go, you are missing the boat with your champion. I go, your champion should have her own reality show. She's this tough ass girl. She works construction during the day. You got the belt in the back seat, a 40 in the left hand, a Russian model in the fucking passenger seat. You're just like this, but you got a heart of gold. People don't know this, but like CB the intern said, he saw you at the hotel and you were like walking around and you go, you get over here. And then you made every fighter fucking like sign, take pictures with him. He was like, dude, Tanya's my new hero. Just so you know.
Well, he's looking like a creeper over there in the corner, man. I was like, you're going to quit being a fucking weirdo, man. Like, people are going to be afraid of you. Get over here.
I'll be back in 2 weeks, Sonia. I'll see you then.
Yeah, I'm not shy around them girls. I'm like, hey, bitch, take a picture with him. Hey, you're fine. Take a picture with him.
Nice. No, it was so nice. You got a huge heart. Huge heart. Now, Colleen looked really good in her last fight against Raquel. Were you impressed with her performance?
I think that... like most people, I think a lot of these girls get overpumped, and I think that that's kind of what happened to Raquel. And, you know, I see him not training the right way. And man, I'm training to be a fighter. I'm not training to be a boxer. I'm not training to be a grappler. I'm training to be a fighter. So I think that's just the difference in me and all these girls that I'm fighting. So, you know, I think I underestimated her beating Raquel, but I just think that the hype behind Raquel was just so big. And I'd been wanting to fight her for so long. I mean, she's said something a long years and years ago about whooping my ass, and I tweeted her back, and I'm like, on my worst day, you wouldn't whoop my ass.
Yeah.
And you know, it's kind of been like I don't know if it's been bad blood. I don't have nothing against her, but she's been hitting head too many times. Think she's gonna whoop my ass. So, you know, I just was kind of hyped up and ready for that fight. And, you know, I was looking for that win, but you know, it doesn't matter. I don't care. As long as these girls keep stepping up and fighting me, as long as they keep having more girls to put in front of me, I'm fine.
Any bad blood with you and Colleen?
No. I mean, obviously I have a reason to beat her. I'll talk that shit after I win, but, yeah, you know, I don't like to get in too much into talking shit about my opponent beforehand in case I lose, and that'd be real embarrassing.
Right.
Real embarrassing.
Now, what do you think of Cyborg fighting Leslie Smith?
I think that's just another gimme. Come on, man. I think she did decent in Invicta, but I don't think Smith did much. You know, she wasn't champion at 35 and definitely wasn't champion at 25. So I think that stylistically, this is the perfect fight for her. And obviously she's going to get a payday, but I don't know. I think it's another gimme fight. Cyborg hasn't fought anybody tough. Come on. She doesn't get tough fights.
Now, did you say you were willing to fight Cyborg?
Yeah. For the right money, for UFC money. UFC's paying her. They better pay me.
Right. No, absolutely.
I mean, it's a super fight, you know, so I'm not going to make freaking 10 grand while she's making 120. Like, suck my dick.
Yeah, no, I totally understand. Who do you think wins? There's a good fight between Sarah McMahon and Jessica Eye. Who do you like in that fight?
I like Jessica. I think Sarah's another one that's been kind of hyped up and ran off her Olympic wrestling crap. And I think that... you know, that's all good and dandy, but, you know, it doesn't win fights. And obviously it showed, and she has lost to girls that, or had great, hard, tough ass fights against girls that she should and would dominate in wrestling. But I mean, this ain't wrestling, man. So these girls are getting up and they're countering and they're better in hands and stuff. And I think that that's all I need to do is just defend that takedown and get back up.
Tate versus Nunez. Who wins this fight?
Oh, definitely Tate. Nunez couldn't even make it 3 rounds in her last fight. Come on.
Yeah, no, I think Nunez has one round to finish her, and then if that doesn't happen, it's gonna be tough.
Yeah, she's gonna grind her out. I think she'll be too comfortable on the ground with Tate, and Tate's gonna grind her out.
So when do you come to LA?
On the 4th.
On the 4th. What day is that?
Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Yeah,
you want to come to studio Thursday, or are you going to be too tied up?
I'd probably come on Thursday if I get my schedule on Wednesday. I'll probably be one of the later pictures and interviews and all that kind of stuff. So,
well, we
would probably come.
That was
earlier.
That was the most fun we've ever had in a podcast. You were so hilarious. You have no idea. You have no idea how big of a fan I am and how awesome I think you are. If I had a son, I want him just like you.
Well, I would be the perfect son.
You'd be the perfect son.
Until I would turn 10 and then my boobies start showing up. You'd be like, damn it.
Perfect son and perfect daughter.
It's a chick.
Now, are you not doing construction anymore, right? You're full-time training?
No. I mean, I have been full-time training, but I just got done with the job a week and a half ago. But, you know, I got to do what I got to do, pay the bills. So take jobs and do them and... you know, maybe one day I'll get these sponsors that all these other guys have and, you know, I get to just be a full-time fighter.
Well, sponsors, if you're out there, sponsor the champ, okay? She works her fucking ass off and she's a great girl, and she's a sweetheart too. Maybe we can get some kind of like two-way dildo sponsors or something. That'd be hilarious. You get some.
That would be amazing. Yeah, that would be real amazing. I prefer the ones that are like the forearm with the fist on the end. You know, I like the big giant ones for, not for me, you know, just to have in my house for decorations and stuff.
Of course.
Tanya, there was actually a rumor going around, speaking of dildos, that you kidnapped me to polish your vibrators.
Well, that wasn't a rumor, but.
Well, listen, Tanya, can't
he
wait
never
for
got that rubber shiny. I'll tell you what, he probably burped rubber for a week after he seen me. You guys didn't even notice.
100%. He's a fucking weirdo. Listen, I'm going to beat your fight. I can't wait for your fight. Thank you for being you, and let me know when you're in town.
All right, for sure. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. All right, that was Tanya Evinger. She's such a sweetheart. Such a hilarious chick, too.
So most psychotic sweetheart ever. But I love her. Every interview with her, every question, you're just sitting there like, you have no idea what she's going to say anything. And you're just on the edge of your seat. It's awesome.
You cannot love that chick. I mean, it's impossible. And there's no reason why she should be doing construction working right now. Absolutely she's a fucking not. Champion. Champion of the world. She's ranked number 9 in the world, people. 9 in the world. 9 in the world.
What do you think of that 125 drop?
I don't know if
I mean she's
a big girl.
I don't know if she can make 125. 125 is little.
I don't know why she wouldn't just. I honestly want to see her in the UFC. I think she presents a challenge to everybody in the UFC.
Is this her first drop to 125?
Well, no, this fight's not 125. This fight's 135.
Oh.
She's defending her belt, but she said after that she wants to go to 125.
Yeah,
I'm like, that's stay at 135. There's so
big,
many.
She
good...
does have a big belly, kind of like not like big, but she has a little bit. She
but
definitely
you never
lose.
Know if that's gonna if the cut's gonna work. But in terms of staying at 135, there's so many good
but
matchups
she, but
in the
she's,
UFC.
Her boxing's gotten better. Got great wrestling, great grappling.
That's what I'm saying. The matchups in the UFC are endless.
She's won 7 fights in a row, 135. If it ain't broken, don't fix it. That's my motto.
Yeah.
Tell me you wouldn't want to see her in the UFC against like Misha Tate or Holly Holm.
I think she does good against. Well,
I think
she does
do
great
very
against
well.
These girls. I really
I think
do.
She'd do very well. Ground and pound the fuck out of them.
All right, listen, Tyler, what do you got coming up?
I'm at the HaHa Wednesday night for Workout Wednesdays this weekend. I'll be local, just trying to pick stuff up. And yeah, not too much going on this week.
Gotcha. Tomorrow night on Oxygen. Okay, watch my show, Living with Funny. I'm all over it. I know I wasn't on last week, but this week, okay, I'm on it all. I'm on it a lot. It's really funny. I trained Brandon T. Jackson in MMA. And then I'll be at the Dime Bar Tuesday nights. Wednesday night, I'm in Colton. And then, what do I got? I don't know. I got a bunch of stuff coming up. But if you're also, if you're in Vegas on International Fight Week, I'm at the Stratosphere. Fight Week, my whole calendar's on AdamHunter.com. AdamHunter.com. CB, anything coming up, CB?
Nope.
Awesome.
You better be training to defend that belt.
Yes.
I'm coming for it.
Wow.
Training what?
I don't know. We got to figure out something.
Jiu-jitsu match?
I don't know. Push-up contest. Weight cut.
Weight cut.
I want to have all of us in the crew here try to do like a fight weight cut. See who could cut the most weight.
I'm down for that.
Yeah.
Listen.
Or like best predictions on a fight night.
No, yeah, I like the weight cut. I need to lose weight.
I'm not cutting because I have a stomach condition.
So you've already lost the belt. All right, Tyler's a new champion. Tyler has the belt. Based
thanks, you think, Adam. I could die from cutting weight, and you're just like, hey, it's funny.
All right, you got the belt. You think of a challenge, and
yeah. All right, listen. I want to thank our sponsors, D-Cypher. Do you feel like you need to make changes in your life? I know I do. Okay, wake up and take back control. Download D-Cypher Life. D-Cypher Life, available on iTunes, Amazon, or Google Play, or at decipher.com. Also, they do life coaching, contract negotiations, okay, all kinds of stuff. Great stuff. They're great people. Call them at 1-888-731-COACH or 1-888-731-2622. Use the code ROASTED. Also, tip a fighter. Listen, we just talked to a fighter who's the champ, and we're still doing construction last week, okay? Tipafighter.com. Tipafighter.com. Let's get these fighters paid more, okay? That way they're happier, and they can spend more time training and less time worrying about paying rent. Tipafighter.com. Thank you to Tanya Evinger, the champ. You're the best. Bye-bye.